This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
Good morning. It is 7:07, 7 minutes after 7 o'clock at WCHL. 73 degrees this morning, about like the days we've had earlier in the week, just a couple of degrees warmer, but it's going to be really warm this afternoon. Partly sunny, 20% chance for showers this morning, not much of a chance, but then a 90% chance of rain in the afternoon. Maybe a shower, maybe a thunderstorm. High today in the low 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain in the low 70s. Tomorrow, we'll look at it in a mostly cloudy day, chance of showers with isolated thunderstorms in the morning, then a chance of rain in the afternoon as well, and it could get a little breezy. High tomorrow in the upper 80s with a 60% chance of rain. The towing drama for Chapel Hill is not over yet. The town sent out a notice yesterday that it's temporarily restricted from enforcing its towing ordinance due to a temporary stay order issued by the North Carolina Supreme Court. This order stops the enforcement of the Court of Appeals decision and reinstates the injunction against the town's towing ordinance pending the Supreme Court's further consideration. Georgia's Towing and Recovery on Tuesday filed paperwork to seek review by the North Carolina Supreme Court of the June 4th decision to the North Carolina Court of Appeals. That decision reversed Superior Court Judge Orlando Hudson's ruling made in August of 2012 that struck down Chapel Hill's ordinance. The town originally adopted the ordinance in March of 2012, but the ordinance never really took effect because George King, operator of Georgia's Towing, challenged the council. For more information on what current towing regulations apply, you can read the article on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Now, the effort to stop predatory towing in Chapel Hill has once again been put on hold, and Carborough officials are looking at it very closely. They want to know how to remedy the same issue at Carmel Mall. WCHL's Abraham Jaroszewski has the details on the Carborough store.
At a meeting earlier this month, the board had harsh words for the ramped-up towing efforts at Carmel Mall, but on Tuesday night, representatives from the mall gave their side of the story. Here's Nick Robinson, an attorney for Carmel Mall.
The town needs to acknowledge that Carborough does not actually have a towing problem and that Carmel Mall is not the problem. It's now time to acknowledge the real problem and call it what it is, Carborough's municipal parking shortage. The town, through its ordinances, policies, and permits, has created a parking shortage of its own making.
The issue was not originally on the June 11th agenda, but was brought up when a representative from Southern Rail had some scathing words for the owners of Carmel Mall, most of which the board agreed with. Cindy McMahon, the owner of Elmo's Diner, also signed up to speak at Tuesday night's public hearing. McMahon has owned Elmo's Diner and operated in Carmel Mall for nearly 22 years, and says listening to a replay of the June 11th meeting left her feeling disheartened.
My business has probably generated $35 million for the town of Carborough, and I feel forgotten. It hurts my feelings for my staff, for my customers, and for the other tenants in the mall. I'm not afraid to work hard, but it's just not fair the way you're treating Carmel Mall.
McMahon added that just hours before the meeting, she encountered visitors who illegally had parked in the Carmel Mall parking lot. Although she verbally warned them that they could be towed and fined, she says they still elected to leave their car in the lot while eating at a restaurant across the street. The board had mixed feelings about the words from Robinson and McMahon. Alderman Jacqueline Gist says she feels the town owes some loyalty to local businesses such as Elmo's.
We have a Carborough business that helped build Carborough, who's being negatively impacted by the lack of parking, and that's not fair. I think there's right and wrong on both sides. I'd be really happy if the signage was good and people could read it, but we also need to protect the existing businesses as new ones come in.
But Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton took issue with some of the words spoken against the alderman, especially from the mall's attorney.
I feel like the letter that we received shortly after our June 11th meeting, I guess it feels a little bit disingenuous for me to hear a bunch of complaints about what happened at the June 11th meeting or what happened at previous meetings before that, and then be told that those things are water under the bridge. If they were water under the bridge, then you wouldn't be up here complaining about them.
Chilton specifically mentioned the new garage at 300 East Main Street and the purchase of the parking lot at 203 South Greensboro Street as examples of the town's recent actions to help alleviate the issue. It wasn't just store owners and legal advisors who spoke against the recent towing stipulations. Barnes Towing, Talbert's Towing, and T-Roy Towing all agreed to speak with town staff regarding their issues with the ordinance in its current state. Although enforcement has recently increased at Carmel Mall, the town's updated towing ordinance has been in place since 2011. The ordinance is very similar to Chapel Hill's. It requires companies to accept credit and debit cards, places limits on the corresponding fine to $100, and mandates proper signage at all lots. Tuesday's meeting was the last official Board of Aldermen meeting before the board's summer recess. The aldermen are scheduled to hold their annual retreat this Sunday afternoon, after which they will continue their discussion on possibly allowing residential space in the 300 East Main Street property. Stay tuned to WCHL and chapelboro.com for the latest developments. Abraham Jaroszewski, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Construction on Weber Dairy Road in Chapel Hill has been ongoing since 2010, but next month the section of road between Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and the planned roundabout near Irwin Road will be finished. The construction was meant to expand Weber Dairy to include more exclusive turn lanes for drivers and raised medians. According to a resident engineer with the North Carolina Department of Transportation, Chris Kirkman, parts of the road will still see construction for a few more months.
We have a retaining wall to install between the roundabout and Irwin Road. That's going to take a few more months.
Kirkman says the expected traffic delays around the area where the wall is being installed should be minor.
The intersection will be in its final configuration. All the lanes and the traffic signals should be functioning well.
While the plan is to be finished with the majority of the project by July, Kirkman adds that the frequent rain the area has been getting could delay completion.
The asphalt has to dry off before you put your pavement markings down, so rain has a huge effect on progress on the project.
Workers are also adding sidewalks and bike and bus lanes to the stretch of Weber Dairy Road between Martin Luther King Boulevard and Irwin Road. Colleges looking at students from the Chapel Hill Carborough City school system soon may not be able to see where that student finished in his or her class. Executive Director of Community Relations with Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, Jeff Nash, says the emphasis placed on class rank drives students to take less engaging classes, like a study hall over foreign language or art or career technical education classes, because these classes are not weighted as heavily.
They'll rather take study hall because it doesn't hurt their GPA. Even if they make an A in their woodworking class and their friend takes an extra AP class, they're going to lose on their class rank battle. It's really a twisted kind of system.
Nash says the schools in the area don't want to eliminate reporting class rank overall, but merely want the reporting to be optional.
We did ask for a waiver from the state board last year. They did not grant that, and they said that it would require legislative action. So we would love to see legislation, if not next year, soon.
According to Nash, 40 to 60% of high schools in the United States don't report class ranks on transcripts.
We're getting a lot of students, obviously, from out of state coming to our state universities. They do have a system in place for deciding whether to admit students or not admit students without having to use class rank.
Steve Farmer, admissions director at Carolina, says the university has considered class rank less and less over the past 10 years.
We've learned how to do our work without paying as much attention to class rank as we did.
Farmer says that class rank ultimately does not affect an undergraduate's chances to get into the university.
I don't think any school system should worry that dropping class rank will make it harder for their kids to get into school. I also don't think that any school system should drop class rank because they think that dropping class rank will make it easier for their kids to get into school.
The Chapel Hill Carborough District has begun petitioning the State Board of Education to make reporting class rank optional. WCHL News Time, 7:16, 16 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point, home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point. Located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Now, with your morning traffic on WCHL, here is Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Ron. Traffic still moving smoothly for the most part out on the roadways right now. I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway. Not reporting any accidents or delays at this time. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask that you do that safely.
All right. Thanks, Rand.
Thank you.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town. They're made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees with a great chewy ice, guaranteed to taste great. Cruisers, good to go. 73 degrees in Chapel Hill this morning, partly sunny, 20% chance for showers this morning, then a 90% chance for showers, maybe even a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Our high temperature today in the low 90s, so this would be the warmest day we've had in a while. Tonight, partly cloudy, a 40% chance for showers and thundershowers, and tonight's low in the low 70s. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain all day, a chance of a shower in the morning, and then showers, maybe even a thunderstorm, likely in the afternoon. Tomorrow, 60% chance, some strong winds as well, and our high temperature tomorrow in the upper 80s. Now, tomorrow night, we'll have have showers, 60% chance anyway, low about 70. Then on Friday, partly sunny with a 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms, and high again about 90. So this warm, muggy weather is going to be with us for a while. There is no question about that.
Hi, this is Freddie Kiger, and you're listening to WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz, North Carolina Association of Broadcasters Personality of the Year.
Well, thank you, Freddie. It's 7:17, 17 minutes after 7 o'clock in WCHL. Reverend William Barber, president of the North Carolina NAACP, is a loud and passionate voice behind the Moral Monday protests in Raleigh. Thousands gather in Raleigh each week to hear Barber speak against the policies of the North Carolina General Assembly. WCHL's Rachel Nash spoke with an expert on public speaking to break down the techniques of this charismatic leader.
So let it be clear and let it be known. They may not change, but neither will we. As long as we got breath in our body, as long as we got marching in our feet, we will stand, we will fight, we will speak, we will stand, we will fight, we will speak, we will stand, we will fight, we will speak, forward together.
That's a clip of Reverend William Barber speaking at last week's Moral Monday. When the NAACP staged its first protest on April 29th, Barber was among the 17 arrested. Those arrestees now wear pins that read, "I went to jail with Reverend Barber." Following this week's Mass Moral Monday, more than 550 people have now been arrested. UNC Communications Professor Christian Lundberg specializes in theories of public discourse, public speaking, rhetorical theory, and debate and deliberation. He explained Barber keeps with the traditions of the speakers of the African American churches associated with the civil rights movement.
But the most interesting thing is, as he really gets into his speech, he starts to really change from those short, simple, declarative sentences towards really kind of elegant, figural language. There's lots of metaphors. There's lots of repetition.
Lundberg identified several techniques that Barber employs in his speeches. He begins with declarative sentences, and then as he gets into the speech, picks up the pace and intensifies his volume. Coming from a church background, Barber's speeches are also heavily laced with biblical references. Many amens can be heard from the crowds at the demonstrations, as people of faith and clergy members have been very active in the rallies. Jeffrey Frank, who attends the United Church of Chapel Hill, has attended 5 protests and said he loves to hear Barber speak. Frank said it's more than just Barber's energy that gets his attention.
First of all, he really understands the issues, but he comes at them from a moral point of view. He puts his message across very well, looking at the focus. He knows the scriptures and he knows how that applies.
Lundberg explains Barber speaks in anaphoric expressions, where he begins each phrase with the same word and then does a riff on that word. It's a stylistic approach used by many Southern preachers, and the cumulative effect, Lundberg explains, conveys passion to the listeners.
If he's really taking lots of individual issues in the political debate and tying them to this larger narrative frame that links struggle in Raleigh right now with the struggle in the civil rights movement, and those two things work together to kind of move him towards a really passionate and engaging package, especially for audiences that share some of his assumptions.
However, not everyone in North Carolina is taken by what Barber has to say. North Carolina State Senator Tom Goolsbee called the civil disobedience movement more on Monday. Lundberg pointed out, though, that the response of the listener depends heavily on their ideological beliefs.
The interesting thing about our culture now is that people listen to speeches less to be challenged or to be changed, but to confirm whatever their own opinions are.
Lundberg said time will tell how successful Barber is at reaching North Carolinians who are somewhere in the middle of the political spectrum.
What's really interesting about guys like that is to see if they can get kind of more moderate folks to agree with the message. And, you know, that was something that was very effective in the civil rights movement in the 60s, and whether or not it'll be effective in our political context, I don't know. But I do know that that guy does execute his strategy quite well, and so it's definitely interesting to listen to and watch.
Barber and others involved in the civil disobedience movement have said they won't stop protesting until they see change in the legislation coming out of the General Assembly. The next rally is set for this Monday. Barber has called for greater numbers to attend, dubbing it another Mass Moral Monday. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The North Carolina General Assembly has made quick work of approving contingency plans for North Carolina government, given there's no state budget with less than a week to go before the fiscal year ends. The Senate and House approved yesterday a stopgap spending measure that would keep funding government operations through the month of July as budget talks continue. The measure now goes to Governor Pat McCrory's desk for his signature. The proposal is needed because legislative leaders haven't yet negotiated a final budget for the next 2 years and trying to first reach a deal on a tax overhaul. Yesterday's measure directs state agencies on how much they can spend in the meantime and also tells the state budget office to find $45 million in savings to pay for an even larger Medicaid shortfall this year. An effort that was detoured in the House to raise the speed limit on some North Carolina highways to 75 miles per hour may be restarted in the form of a study. A divided House Transportation Committee voted yesterday in favor of directing the Department of Transportation to study raising the current 70-mile-per-hour maximum speed limit on some interstates and limited-access highways. The bill would direct DOT to develop a pilot for up to 4 roads, but first report to a legislative oversight committee by January about their plans. The Senate passed a bill giving the DOT the green light to raise limits where it made sense. The bill returned to committee last week after several lawmakers opposed the idea in floor debate, worried that it would lead to more traffic deaths. WCHL News Time, 7:23, 23 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by Fitz Lumber and Hardware in Carrboro. The anticipation is building as UNC's football season opener against South Carolina happens on Thursday, August 29th. That is drawing closer and closer. It's the opening act for the college football season, kicking off at 6 p.m. on the 29th of August on ESPN. A contest happening at Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina, will mark the 56th meeting of the gridiron between these two schools. The first one, though, since 2007. UNC head coach Larry Fedora joined South Carolina's Sports Talk radio show for a friendly chat about facing the Gamecocks and how he feels the Tar Heels will stack up.
We understand that it'll be a hostile environment down there in Columbia, and the Gamecocks fans will do a great job. And so we understand the task at hand.
In Coach Fedora's first year with Carolina, the Tar Heels were 8-4, 5-3 in the ACC. His team set school records in scoring and total offense, won 8 games, and could have claimed the division title if it weren't for lingering NCAA sanctions. Fedora also ushered in a new era of no-huddle spread offense for the Tar Heels and shattered previous school records with 487 points scored and 40.6 points average per game. At the helm was quarterback Bren Renner, now a senior, and he's back to lead the high-scoring offensive attack.
He just got better as the year went on. So I'd say that last 5 games, Brent really did a great job for us. And then he picked up this spring right where he had left off. And so, we expect big things out of Brent this next season.
The question of who will fill Gio Bernard's big shoes remains. Fedora says he feels confident about the options. Senior A.J. Blue and sophomore Romar Morris have experience. True freshman Chris Francis was one of the big surprises in UNC's spring training and spring game. Fellow freshman T.J. Logan might make things even more interesting. Logan scored 8 touchdowns and rushed for more than 500 yards for Northern Guilford High School in their victory in the 3A state championship game this past season. 8 touchdowns, more than 500 yards in 1 game.
We're excited about what he brings to the table, and I really feel pretty good about all 4 of those guys. So it's going to be interesting to see who decides they want to be the man.
South Carolina finished the 2012 season with an 11-2 record, a victory in the Outback Bowl, and a number 8 national ranking. Gamecocks also have Jadeveon Clowney, the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. That's one of the reasons Coach Fedora is not taking anything for granted.
We're scared to death of him. You got that defensive end over there that's all world and is a great player, so we've got a lot of work to do.
South Carolina won in Chapel Hill way back in 2007 by a 21-15 margin. UNC holds a 14-9-1 advantage in games played down in Columbia and also holds a 34-18-4 advantage in the all-time series. Well, in case you're wondering, UCLA has won the national championship in baseball. Eric Filia drove in a career-high 5 runs. Nick Vander Twig limited Mississippi State to only 5 hits over 8 innings. UCLA, the team that knocked out Carolina, has won its first national championship in baseball. They did it last night over Mississippi State by an 8-0 score. The Bruins finished 49-17 of the season. They completed a 2-game sweep in the College World Series finals and ended the season with 11 straight victories. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Despite its many flaws, the NCAA is never going away. This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. With everything now pointing toward renewed stability in college athletics, the local talk shows are still pontificating about the impending death of the NCAA. It will never happen, brothers and sisters, for the same reason we're in this mess to begin with. Money. Too much of it is being made to unseat the system. First of all, the Big Five conferences seceding from the NCAA means the end of college athletics as we know it, even though we all recognize it's really not amateur sports anymore and the players should somehow be compensated. Forming a new governing body of college sport is wrought with peril and bad publicity. It would mean the trickle-down economics that support the mid-major schools and Divisions II and III would end, and those schools would have to turn all of the sports they cannot afford to fund into club teams or intramurals. Even if football formed a super conference, it would still be within the NCAA, so the men's basketball tournament could continue being the cash cow that pays everyone else down the food chain, at least enough to keep playing on the varsity level. Also, breaking away from the tax-exempt nonprofit status of the NCAA invites the government to get involved like it already has with the BCS. That means the athletes are paid employees who need workmen's compensation insurance, and taxes would have to be paid on every revenue stream. I am sure the millionaire power coaches will let their ADs and presidents vote for that. A recent survey showed that in 41 of the 50 states, the highest paid public employee is a college coach. I'm certain Nick Saban, Mac Brown, and Mike Krzyzewski would relish going from running their schools to working for some real CEO who could fire them for any old reason. Hey, Mac, you lost 5 games last season. Hit the road. Breaking away completely makes less sense than reforming the NCAA, which, believe me, needs serious reform. Figure out how to pay the players, even if it's deferred, give them a 5-year academic scholarship they can use whenever they want, and continue calling college sports amateur sports. There is too much money at stake to ever risk trying it any other way. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
The Orange County Library is at your fingertips and just a click away from meeting your recreational, educational, and informational reading needs. Monitor your account online, reserve a meeting room, check out digital media and e-books. You can also like Orange County Library on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We love to see you at the library. We have 3 convenient locations, 1 in Hillsboro and 2 in Carrboro. Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Top of the Hill Distillery. It's half off. $20 for a distillery tour, tasting, and souvenir glass, available now for $10. Get a close-up look at Topo's world-class distilling equipment and learn how they craft their local and organic spirits. You'll see the 3-story distillery in downtown Chapel Hill, see the gorgeous and functional copper pot still, and get a taste in a special glass to take home with you. It's half off from Top of the Hill Distillery. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro Weather brought to you by the all-new Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, where you can enjoy a $3 happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 until 6 p.m. A variety of full-size menu items, just $3. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe and Chapel Hill's East 54 Shopping Center. It's 73 degrees in Chapel Hill. It's going to be a muggy day. 20% chance of showers this morning. Then a 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today on the low 90s. Get ready for the rain. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and or thunderstorms. Our overnight low tonight, 72. Tomorrow, more of the same. Mostly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms. Windy in the afternoon. High tomorrow in the upper 80s.
Qualified to cover Carolina. 97.9 FM. WCHL. Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel Station.
This news update, I'm Dave Barrett. Same-sex marriage is what we expect to hear about today from the U.S. Supreme Court. 2 key cases are pending. Details from correspondent Jan Crawford.
One of the cases comes from California, and it asks whether or not states can ban same-sex marriage. The other case asks whether the federal government can refuse to acknowledge same-sex marriage, even in those states. 12 states and the District of Columbia now allow same-sex marriage.
CBS's Steve Futterman is in the Castro District of San Francisco.
This area has a very large gay and lesbian population. Most of the people you talk with are optimistic, but there are still many people people who are nervous. They say they will not believe that same-sex marriage is legal until they hear it from the Supreme Court.
Jan Crawford outside the courthouse in Washington, D.C.
Already we've got a long line of people lined up, many of them here since yesterday afternoon, hoping to get a seat inside the courtroom to hear the justices announce their decision in these two cases.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
You're listening to 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, back to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
Good morning. It is 7:32, 28 minutes until 8 o'clock at WCHL. 73 degrees in Chapel Hill, 72 in Carborough this morning. Partly sunny today. Slight chance of rain this morning, then a 90% chance of rain in the afternoon. Look for a high temperature today in the low 90s. It's going to be warm and muggy. The towing drama for Chapel Hill is not over yet. The town sent out a notice yesterday that it's temporarily restricted from enforcing its towing ordinance due to a temporary stay order issued by the North Carolina Supreme Court. This order stops the enforcement of the Court of Appeals decision and reinstates the injunction against the town's towing ordinance pending the Supreme Court's further consideration. Georgia's Towing and Recovery on Tuesday filed paperwork seeking review by the North Carolina Supreme Court of the June 4th decision of the North Carolina Court of Appeals. That decision reversed Superior Court Judge Orlando Hudson's ruling made in August of 2012 that struck down Chapel Hill's ordinance. The town originally adopted the ordinance in March of last year, but the ordinance never took effect because George King, operator of Georgia's Towing, challenged the council. If you'd like more information on what current towing regulations apply, you can read the article on our website at chapelboro.com. The effort to stop predatory towing in Chapel Hill once again on hold. Carborough officials are looking at it very closely. Carborough officials want to know how to remedy the same issue at Carmel Mall. WCHL's Abraham Gerasesi has been following the story in Carborough and has this morning's details.
At a meeting earlier this month, the board had harsh words for the ramped-up towing efforts at Carmel Mall. But on Tuesday night, representatives from the mall gave their side of the story. Here's Nick Robinson, an attorney for Carmel Mall.
The town needs to acknowledge that Carborough does not actually have a towing problem and that Carmel Mall is not the problem. It's now time to acknowledge the real problem and call it what it is, Carborough's municipal parking shortage. The town, through its ordinances, policies, and permits, has created a parking shortage of its own making.
The issue was not originally on the June 11th agenda, but was brought up when a representative from Southern Rail had some scathing words for the owners of Carmel Mall, most of which the board agreed with. Cindy McMahon, the owner of Elmo's Diner, also signed up to speak at Tuesday night's public hearing. McMahon has owned Elmo's Diner and operated in Carmel Mall for nearly 22 years, and says listening to a replay of the June 11th meeting left her feeling disheartened.
My business has probably generated $35 million for the town of Carborough, and I feel forgotten. It hurts my feelings for my staff, for my customers, and for the other tenants in the mall. I'm not afraid to work hard, but it's just not fair the way you're treating Carmel Mall.
McMahon added that just hours before the meeting, she encountered visitors who illegally had parked in the Carmel Mall parking lot. Although she verbally warned them that they could be towed and fined, she says they still elected to leave their car in the lot while eating at a restaurant across the street. The board had mixed feelings about the words from Robinson and McMahon. Alderman Jacqueline Gist says she feels the town owes some loyalty to local businesses such as Elmo's.
We have a Carborough business that helped Bill Carborough, who's being negatively impacted by the lack of parking, and that's not fair. I think there's right and wrong on both sides. I'd be really happy if the signage was good and people could read it, but we also need to protect the existing businesses as new ones come in.
But Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton took issue with some of the words spoken against the alderman, especially from the mall's attorney.
I feel like the letter that we received shortly after our June 11th meeting, I guess it feels a little bit disingenuous for me to hear a bunch of complaints about what happened at the June 11th meeting or what happened at previous meetings before that and then be told that those things are water under the bridge. If they were water under the bridge, then you wouldn't be up here complaining about them.
Chilton specifically mentioned the new garage at 300 East Main Street and the purchase of the parking lot at 203 South Greensboro Street as examples of the town's recent actions to help alleviate the issue. It wasn't just store owners and legal advisors who spoke against the recent towing stipulations. Barnes Towing, Talbert's Towing, and T. Roy Towing all agreed to speak with town staff regarding their issues with the ordinance in its current state. Although enforcement has recently increased at Carmel Mall, the town's updated towing ordinance has been in place since 2011. The ordinance is very similar to Chapel Hill's. It requires companies to accept credit and debit cards, places limits on the corresponding fine to $100, and mandates proper signage at all lots. Tuesday's meeting was the last official Board of Aldermen meeting before the board's summer recess. The aldermen are scheduled to hold their annual retreat this Sunday afternoon, after which they will continue their discussion on possibly allowing residential space in the 300 East Main Street property. Stay tuned to WCHL and Chapelboro.com for the latest developments. Abraham Jaroszewski, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
College is looking at students from the Chapel Hill Carborough City School District. In other words, students are graduating from Chapel Hill High School, East Chapel Hill High School, and Carborough High School may soon not be able to see where that student finished in his or her class. Executive Director of Community Relations with the Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools, Jeff Nash, says the emphasis placed on class rank drives students to take less engaging classes, like a study hall, for example, over foreign language or art or career technical education classes, because these classes are not weighted as heavily.
They'll rather take study hall because it doesn't hurt their GPA. Even if they make an A in their woodworking class and their friend takes an extra AP class, they're going to lose on their class rank battle. It's really a twisted kind of system.
Nash says the schools in the area don't want to eliminate reporting class rank overall, but merely want the reporting to be optional.
We did ask for a waiver from the State Board last year. They did not grant that, and they said that it would require legislative action. So we would love to see legislation, if not next year, soon.
According to Nash, 40 to 60% of high schools in the United States don't report class ranking on transcripts.
We're getting a lot of students, obviously, from out of state coming to our state universities. They do have a system in place for deciding whether to admit students or not admit students without having to use class rank.
Steve Farmer is admissions director at Carolina. He says the university has considered class rank less and less over the past decade.
We've learned how to do our work without paying as much attention to class rank as we did.
Farmer says that class rank ultimately does not affect an undergraduate's chances to get into UNC.
I don't think any school system should worry that dropping class rank will make it harder for their kids to get into school. I also don't think that any school system should drop class rank because they think that dropping class rank will make it easier for their kids to get into school.
The Chapel Hill Carborough District has begun petitioning the State Board of Education to make reporting class rank optional. WCHL News Time, 7:39, 21 minutes until 8 o'clock. Walt Mack has today's commentary coming up just a couple of minutes, and he talks about this very subject. He says we should drop the class rankings. That is on the way. That'll be followed by what you're saying on the street on WCHL. And all the usual stuff this morning. We'll have your traffic and weather together. We'll tell you about what's happening at chapelboro.com, WCHL's website. We also have the clean joke of the day, the word of the day on WCHL. And today's WCHL Hometown Hero. All of that is coming up.
I moved here a few years ago and discovered UNC Family Medicine. I love that the doctors are up to date on the latest medical developments. I love the easy parking. And most of all, I love that my husband and my kids also go to UNC Family Medicine. The reassurance of knowing they are available by email or by phone, plus the knowledge they are among the best family medicine departments in the country, means I have peace of mind about our health care.
Find out more at uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Are you the type who simply can't resist a classic?
He's looking at you, kid.
Go ahead. Make my day.
If you can't resist a classic, then Breadman's Restaurant is the perfect place for you. You'll love the banana pudding.
Hello, gorgeous.
And you can get a full breakfast anytime.
Inconceivable!
Open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily.
Breadman's Restaurant, since 1974. A Chapel Hill classic.
And God is my witness. I'll never be hungry again.
WCHL and the town of Chapel Hill invite you to discover the new 140 West Plaza in downtown Chapel Hill. Located at 140 West Franklin Street, the new outdoor plaza is designed to enhance the natural charm unique to downtown Chapel Hill. Every Wednesday in June features Live at Lunch, an intimate music and art series as backdrop to your midday meal. Fridays on Franklin on the 2nd and 4th Fridays from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. features live entertainment to kick off your weekends in downtown Chapel Hill. More information at townofchapelhill.org/140West.
Imagine behind the scenes at a typical jewelry store.
Boss, corporate's new ad campaign telling people we have a gazillion diamonds and we're like direct importers sounds great, but what will we do when people actually come in?
Yep, I just got the memo on that today from HQ. First, you badmouth Diamonds Direct. Second, you tell them we are now a direct importer.
Is that true?
Yes, we import direct from New York. Third, after you show them the few diamonds we have, dazzle them with our new technology, the virtual vault.
You want me to get them to pick out a diamond without seeing it in real life?
Exactly. We can't really compete with Diamonds Direct's selection of real diamonds, so now we're selling virtual diamonds from our middleman vendors.
Seriously? With virtual markups?
No, the markups are real.
Other jewelry stores are always trying to find ways to compete with Diamonds Direct, but it's not about showroom gimmicks and clever advertising. It's about what counts. Selection, service, quality, and value. And that's where Diamonds Direct wins every time. Real diamonds. Real expertise. Real value. Diamonds Direct Crabtree on Glenwood outside Crabtree Valley Mall across from Fleming Steakhouse.
Well, good morning. It is 7:42, 18 minutes away from 8 o'clock at WCHL. Estra Stutz and Rand Northam joins us in the studio now. And Rand, I know there's always a lot of exciting stuff going on our website. What's happening today at chapelboro.com?
Well, our editor at chapelboro.com, Jordan Rogers, has a piece up in his new column, Seriously Kidding. He reviews the new Fitzgerald Irish Pub in the context of the Chapel Hill business restaurant climate as a whole, and the sort of awkward fact that Fitzgerald's just opened in the same building of another Irish pub that just left town. So, very interesting setting there. They did some repainting, moving around, shifting, but same building, two Irish pubs, one after another.
And the old one shut down right before St. Patrick's Day, which was kind of ironic as well.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, very, very strange, just lots of changes going on Franklin Street. And I actually talked to Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt about that at one point and said, you know, is there any kind of concern of all the businesses leaving? He's like, well, you know, you hear the comments about the businesses leaving, but you don't always necessarily hear the comments about the new businesses coming in, because there's a lot of people, a lot of businesses, a lot of places coming into those new spots and filling those spots once one leaves. So, you know, it's Franklin Street is still hopping and a lot of businesses doing well there as well. So
we had a story just last week on WCHL talking about the businesses that have left recently.
Right.
But then right after that, we talked about the ones who had opened up.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, There is another side to that story, but
Franklin Street is not vacant, that's for sure.
No way.
Still quite vibrant. Also on our website, check out all of the winners of June's shortlist award for a frozen treat. The winner was Maple View Farms, and actually my wife and I just went out there the other day. Still weird to say wife, I gotta say. Still getting used to that. I've been told it takes about a year to get used to saying that.
Is
after
that right?
Saying fiance for a year and a half.
Really?
I imagine it's going to take a little while. So anyway, Maple View Farm was the winner of June's shortlist for Best Place for a Frozen Treat. The runners-up, Tar Heel Creamery, Yogurt Pump, Loco Pops, and Sugarland. And a blurb about all of the winners available in our lifestyle section right now. And also, Kristen Hardy is publishing her latest Kristen's Cut today with co-contributor Steve McQuaid, a.k.a. Hungry Heel is his otherwise known as name. He covers local foodie topics, and Kristen's going to meet up with him. So there's a video of that. Kristen's been doing a lot of video on our website, chapelboro.com, which is a new element that we've been adding there. And we'll be looking to add more and more video over the days, months, and years to come. So be on the lookout for that. Kristen's been doing a great job. All the staff back at chapelboro.com. You can find all of our news and sports columns as well. Lots of great things on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Traffic and weather together coming up. I can tell you that it's 73 degrees right now in Chapel Hill, and we have a slight chance of rain this morning, but a 90% chance of rain in the afternoon.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Walt Mack. Another controversy has popped up at the Chapel Hill Carboro Schools. This time, it's about class rankings. Should class rankings be eliminated on transcripts? Well, Superintendent Tom Frisella thinks so, and he wants to change a state law that requires it. It's a trend that's sweeping the nation, as a growing number of private and public schools are scrapping the practice altogether. As competition to gain admission to prestigious schools increases, the pressure and stress on academically motivated students is mounting. Ivy League schools like Harvard, Princeton, and Yale would prefer to have class rankings shown on transcripts. It makes the admission process a lot easier. But there is an abundance of other data available to help determine whether a student is academically head and shoulders above the rest, namely ACT and SAT scores. The grading system has changed drastically over the years. In the 50s and 60s and 70s, students who wanted to continue their education took more rigorous college prep courses, and that was sufficient to gain admission. Now we have advanced placement courses. Those courses are tougher, and a student might receive a B instead of an A for a less taxing course. That could result in that student dropping down as much as 40 places in class ranking. It doesn't make for a level playing field, does it? The time has come for a change in the practice of listing class rankings on transcripts, and the state legislatures should act to assure that it does happen. This is Walt Mack.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
What you're saying on the street, presented by ISIS IT.
What you're saying on the street.
I'm Michael Papich. Schools in Chapel Hill and Carrboro are looking at making class ranking not part of a student's transcripts when they apply to college. We hit the streets to find out what you think.
My name's John McKinney. I stay in Chapel Hill. I think that's good. I think they can move forward with that and make a life worth working for. Everything will be fine. I mean, I think it's good to do anything for the kids around here.
Janine Lynch, and I live in Hillsboro, North Carolina. It's so individual. I have a real problem with the SATs being so important because I think that kids perform so differently.
John Winokur down in Bynum. Well, as a teacher, I've read about it. I really don't have thoughts one way or the other on it.
Norman Johnson. Live in Farrington Village. My thought is that class ranking has become totally irrelevant because of the grade inflation that has taken place over the last 30 years. So you've got 200 people with straight A average. It's just a farce now. So it doesn't really matter.
Should class ranking be considered when a student is applying to college?
Will Booker, Chapel Hill. Seems unnecessary to me. I don't know why that would really come into play. The classes are so large that, especially in Chapel Hill, you can be 200th in your class and still have a good GPA.
My name is Marie Weil, and I live in North Carolina. I'm inclined to think it does. I teach at UNC, so I've had experience teaching kids that aren't prepared. I think getting the two-year degrees and then coming to Chapel Hill or State is a better route for kids.
My name is Irene Lowe, Durham. I don't think it should be. Some people do very well in college, even if they, you know, they weren't that great in school because maybe they didn't pay attention. They'll pay attention in college.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
Dreaming of an easier and faster way to get your vehicle serviced? Wake up, because Crown Honda South Point has the answer. Dream Service. Simply drop your car off between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and your vehicle will be ready bright and early at 7 a.m. the next morning.
7 a.m.
Guaranteed, or it's free. Plus, Crown Honda South Point is the only Honda dealer in North Carolina open until 11 p.m. Rest easy with Dream Service at Crown Honda South Point.
Dream Service.
South Point Auto Park Boulevard and SouthPointHonda.com.
And now, the Grace Church Community Spotlight.
Come celebrate the birth of our nation this 4th of July at Keenan Stadium for the annual Town of Chapel Hill Fireworks Show. The best show around. Family-friendly, great music, and lots of big bangs. The fun begins at 7 p.m. with the fireworks set to go around 9:30.
This Community Spotlight has been presented by Grace Church. Be sure to stop by their table at the July 4th fireworks display to say hello and pick up your glow-in-the-dark necklace. Grace Church, reaching people, building lives. GraceLife.com. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL, and this traffic report is brought to you by your friends at the Carolina Inn. Join the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant Bar each and every day for their exceptional daily features, menus, specials, and hours available at CarolinaInn.com. Now, with your morning traffic on WCHL, here's Rand.
Thank you very much, Ron. A couple slowdowns to let you know about this morning. 15501 southbound as you approach East Franklin. That split there, a little bit of a slowdown, nothing major. 15501 northbound, approaching Ephesus Church Road for about a mile or so, also seeing a little delay this morning. I-40 moving smoothly. Some traffic out there, but moving smoothly. No stop and goes this morning. The Durham Freeway moving smoothly, as well as NC 54. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, be sure to give us a call. You can be a WCHL Road Warrior. 919-967-8363 is the number to call. You can also tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Cover of Weather, presented by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, where you can enjoy a $3 happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 until 6 p.m. A variety of full-size menu items, just $3 each. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe and Chapel Hill's East 54 Shopping Center. It is 73 degrees in Chapel Hill this morning, 73 in Hillsboro, 72 in Carborough. Partly sunny, 20% chance for showers this morning, then a 90% chance of rain in the afternoon. Sounds pretty sure, doesn't it? High today in the low 90s. It's going to be a hot, muggy day. Tonight, partly cloudy with a 40% chance of rain at the low of 72. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm even in the morning. And then showers and thunderstorms likely in the afternoon to the tune of 60%. Also a bit windy tomorrow. High tomorrow in the upper 80s. A couple of muggy days on the way here. WCHL 752, 8 minutes away from 8 o'clock. That's Wayne Pond joins us now from Chatham County. How are things in Chatham County this morning?
Oh, peachy keen. Ron, as a matter of fact, there's a little hint toward the word of the day, but I want to know, what was that about to the tune of 60%? How's that tune go? You and Fred going to sing it for us some morning?
It's like it's the old Beatles song, Rain.
Yeah.
When the rains come. You know, or you could do Who'll Stop the Rain by Creedence Clearwater Revival. Any number of tunes. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
10% better than 50%, huh?
Well, true, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, block that metaphor, buddy. Block that metaphor.
I'll do my best.
Here's the word of the day. I got a dandy for you. I gave you a little hint just a minute ago. Or actually, you supplied the hint here. The word of the day is fumacious. Fumacious. This has nothing to do with all that fluff you used to put on your hair when you were a teenager. Remember, hey, here comes Ron. He's got another jar of fumacious. All right, P as in Paul, P-O-M-A-C-E-O-U-S. That's pretty straightforward. P-O-M-A-C-E-O-U-S, fumacious.
Mm-hmm.
It is an adjective. Ron, you want to take a wild guess here, pal? Or I don't care what kind of guess you take. Just take a guess.
I really don't know. It's like anything. Like, does it have anything to do with hairstyles?
Well, that would be pomade, and that would be pomade. And you know, come on now, they're probably related back there in the etymological jungles. There are a couple of vines that are twisting around and over one another. No, fumacious actually is all about apples. Of or relating to apples. When I told you I had a peach of a word for you, is a peach in the same family as the apple, Ron? You know all the genealogy about that stuff, don't you?
I don't know. I guess you have an apple of a word.
All right. Well, there it is. Fumacious. P-O-M-A-C-E-O-U-S. An adjective of or relating to apples. So take a big bite out of that one and enjoy it. I'll talk to you in the morning.
I'll do my best. It's right down to the core. Wayne Palm with the word of the day on WCHL, brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? Next hour, you'll have an opportunity to call in, tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it. If you're the first to do so, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Coming up on 7:55, 5 minutes until 8 o'clock, WCHL.
97.9 FM, WCHL. Hi, this is Ron Stutz, and a very good morning to you. And a good morning to Lauren Stafford.
Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Yeah, just great. Fantastic. Better now?
Better now that I'm here?
Yeah.
I try to walk in and bring some sunshine into the room.
You do.
The best I can in a room with no windows.
You just radiate happiness.
Thank you.
And sunshine and frivolity and all that stuff.
Well, you're too sweet. It's hard to keep up with personality of the year.
Oh, come on.
I can't let that go yet. It only just happened the other day.
You're like a sunbeam just shining down in the room here.
Well, thank you. Blinding by the light.
Enough of this nonsense.
Exactly.
Thank you, man, for banning.
Love that song.
What do you got today? You got
a great joke.
Clean joke?
I do. I have a clean joke from Wiley Post.
Uh-oh. Are you sure we can air this?
Yes, we can. Well, you know, we always have to make sure to kind of filter some.
You always have to worry about Wiley.
This time, two out of three made it through the filtering system. So.
Wiley's right there on the edge.
He is. So we allow two out of three of his jokes he submitted. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Last one's
pretty good average.
Risky. Yeah, it's good average. All right.
That's not bad for him.
Here's the first one. All right. A woman visited a... excuse me. A woman visited a modern art gallery. Mm-hmm. One painting was bright blue with vivid orange swirls, and the one hanging next to it was black with lime green splotches.
Mm-hmm.
The artist stood nearby, so as politely as she could, the woman said to him, "I'm sorry, but I just don't understand your paintings."
Uh-huh.
The artist replied, "I paint what I feel inside me." "I see," the woman replied innocently.
Uh-huh.
"Have you tried Alka-Seltzer?"
Really?
It's, you know, nowadays I feel the same way sometimes looking at some of it.
I look at art like that sometimes.
I know, me too. I'm like, I don't know what they had for dinner the night before, but.
Sometimes I see it and I say, I could have done that.
And that's a sick thought. 7:57 at WCHL, 3 minutes until 8 o'clock.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Sarah Fallon works with Orange County Animal Services and often appears on Adopt-A-Pet here on WCHL. Sarah is today's WCHL hometown hero for her love of animals and all her hard work to make their lives better.
Sarah, you've been with Orange County Animal Services for a long time. What got you interested in doing this kind of work? And did you always grow up as an animal lover?
I did. We had all kinds of pets as I was growing up. You know, back in the day, you got rabbits or chickens or bunnies, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean,
you live on the country when you were growing up?
No, I lived right in Carver. That's how long ago. And so we always had those kind of pets. And we always had dogs and cats. My grandmother that lived in Carver had like 9 cats at one time. And
wow.
So we always just had all kinds of pets growing up. And I did go to school, and I worked with people with developmental disabilities, and I did that for like 25 years. And
wow.
I know.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and I kind of got burnouts, and I'd always worked with volunteers. Mm. And there was a job opening at the shelter. It was almost 9 years ago, and they wanted somebody that had special events and working with people, not
wow.
really animals.
Wow.
So I got the best of both worlds. I work with both animals and people.
Perfect job for you,
perfect
I think.
Perfect job, I
and
think.
And let me also say congratulations on your recent birthday.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm not going to say which one it is.
You can say. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. 60 years old,
60
ladies and
years
gentlemen.
Old. 60 yeah. years young.
Trust me, it's downhill from there.
I know. That's what you told me.
Sarah Fallon wants to get all the animals adopted. There are so many cats, especially this time of year, and, of course, plenty of dogs, too.
Orange County Animal Services, a lot easier to get to the website now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It used to be all these dots in between the words, and now it's www.orangecountync.gov/animalservices.
All right.
Or they can come by 1601 Eubanks Road in Chapel Hill, or you can call us at 919-942-7387.
All right.
Come adopt a cat.
Well, Sarah Fallon, thank you so much for what you do for the animals.
Well, thank you for having us because they get adopted.
We got a whole bunch of animal lovers here in Orange County. And
we do.
So we need to take care of them.
And every time we come here, our cats get adopted. Our dogs get adopted.
Fantastic.
So it's a good omen.
Well, that's why we do
keep
it.
Keep it up, folks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
She's compassionate about working with the dogs and cats, and she's today's WCHL hometown hero. Congratulations, Sarah Fallon.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Local news all day. Breaking